I want to take a moment to tell you about Trade Coffee. Trade Coffee believes that every cup of coffee you make should be your best ever, no matter how you take your coffee. Launched in 2018, Trade Coffee unites the nation's top roasters, including some in Nashville, directly with drinkers, offering 400 plus roasted to order coffees so fresh they don't exist until you say so. This company has really opened my eyes to everything coffee can be, and in the process, turning me, who was a regular coffee drinker, into a coffee lover. Listen to these coffee subscription perks. Access a handpicked selection of 400 plus coffees roasted around the country and personalized just for you. Automatically receive discounted pricing on curated coffees plus free shipping always. Adjust your coffee, update order frequency, go from hot to cold, or switch to decaf. Pause or cancel at any time. Lastly, sit back and enjoy. Their coffee is roasted to order and delivered at peak freshness direct to your home. So, are you ready to unlock your coffee rotation? I want to share a special offer with my listeners. If you sign up for a coffee subscription as a new customer, you will get your first bag of coffee for free. Yes, free. All you need to do to get started is go to 99%localpod.com/coffee.
Welcome to the 99% Loco Podcast.
Hey there, podcast family. Welcome to another episode of the 99% Local Podcast, and thank you for tuning in. This episode brings us to episode number 57, and I have to say it's been a while. Things have been a little bit crazy on my end, but I'm pushing through and continuing to share these stories. If you're new to the podcast or have been a longtime listener, let me remind you about what this podcast is about. Each episode, me, your host, Chris Green, is bringing stories of Nashville and Middle Tennessee-based entrepreneurs, authors, musicians, artisans, and other creators. Everybody has a story, their own unique upbringing, and a passion for why they're doing what they're doing. I personally love the sense of community around Nashville and get my kicks from sharing these stories. I'm especially excited for this week's guest because, well, it hits close to home, and when her team reached out to me, I said, yeah, let's do it. This week, I'm joined by Cassandra Coleman. Cassandra's a native of Columbia, Tennessee, and is a singer widely known for competing on American Idol Season 19, finishing within the top 10, to be exact. Cassandra started singing at a very young age, and we talk a little bit about that on the episode, as well as about life pre and post American Idol. One of the main reasons Cassandra came on the podcast is to talk about a festival she has in the works, as in one she's creating, called the Columbia Indie Fest, which will take place downtown Columbia on the square. Cassandra took the plunge to pursue a calling to the Idol stage, and the Columbia Indie Fest is a festival to support and celebrate the artists, visionaries, musicians, and dreamers who take the plunge to pursue their calling. Look at this as a way for Cassandra to give back to her community. So yeah, I'm super excited to share our chat with you as we walk through Cassandra's journey to American Idol to everything she's doing now. So let's get right into this. Here's my conversation with Cassandra Coleman, American Idol finalist and creator of what is going to become the Columbia Indie Fest.
Tell us who you are and where you're from.
My name is Cassandra Coleman. I am 24 years old. I am from Columbia, Tennessee.
Columbia.
Columbia.
Do you know Columbia?
Yes.
I thought so.
Got a farm there.
No.
Yeah.
Cut it out.
That's my spot. That's where I go check out. So what are you going to sing today?
The Way It Was by The Killers.
All right. Let's hear it.
Okay.
Maybe a thief stole your heart. Maybe we just drifted apart. I remember driving in my daddy's car to the airfield, blanket on the hood, backs against the windshield. Back then this thing was running on momentum, love and trust. That paradise is better.
Is that okay?
I loved it.
Oh.
What do you got, Katie?
I didn't like it.
Oh.
I loved it.
Oh.
Every once in a while, things just work out for the best. And that was about as angelic as it's gonna get.
Oh, thank you so much.
I loved it. I thought it was great.
Yeah.
Thank you so much. I'm
really
honored.
It is so inspiring when it's just straight up God-given.
Yeah.
Like, I felt free listening to you sing. I just got caught up in the show and the magic.
Where do you usually perform?
I don't really perform.
What?
This is so out of my comfort zone. I mean, I get nervous. I get the shakes just performing for my family.
I want you to understand one line.
Yes, sir.
Life begins at the end of your comfort zone, okay? So every time you get afraid,
yes, sir,
take a step forward.
On the podcast today, I have Cassandra Coleman. Cassandra is a singer and a top 10 American Idol finalist from the 2021 season. Cassandra's recent journey includes going from working at a coffee house to all of America's television screens. Aside from her voice, her personality and genuineness was what made her a standout on American Idol. Thank you so much for doing this.
No, I'm smiling so big right now. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, and you're right down the road. So it's funny because there's been a lot of recent, American Idol contestants from this area, and you could say it is Nashville, but it's just cool.
Yeah, it definitely is. I feel honored to represent this area, and I'm also I didn't move here with the intent of doing music. I just, I've just lived here as a child, so it's like, I feel like I'm getting to represent my town. So it means a lot to me.
Yeah. And I want to dive into your story and talk about your path to American Idol a little bit, but I also wanted to talk about what you are creating with the Columbia Indie Fest, which takes place in October. So you're currently living in Columbia, Tennessee. You'd consider that your home, but tell me about growing up and where you actually did grow up.
Yeah, so growing up was kind of all over Tennessee. My dad was in the military, so we had to move around a lot. But I mean, it was pretty much always within Tennessee. It was like Kingsport, Johnson City, Knoxville, then Columbia. At like two different points when I was just like an infant, we lived in like the different areas of DC. But pretty much it was always Nashville. My dad, when I was like 11, they said, you can go back to Iraq. He'd already been there for a year and a half, or you can move to Nashville. So we're like, okay, no brainer. We're moving to Nashville. But my dad, wasn't like crazy about the city scene. And so instead we just happened to find a house in Hampshire, technically, which is a little bit outside of Columbia. But yeah, so I've lived here since I was 11, and I was homeschooled, but I did go to Hampshire Unit School for a couple years, and this is just where I've been ever since, and I really love Columbia. I love just how it feels like home to me. I mean, I don't know if I'll live here forever, but it's definitely like where I would consider coming back and like raising a family if I ever do that.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit how you actually got into singing or, kind of discovered that this is something you could pursue.
I mean, I've dreamt of pursuing music since I was, literally a child. It's always been my dream. It's not something that like came to me on, later years in life. But I think what did come to me in later years of life was insecurities and doubt and thinking that music was a pipe dream. And so I wasn't doing anything with music except for I would sing online and I would share music like on YouTube or different like social media outlets. And so that was the extent of, of me pursuing music. It was just, it was like an itch I had to scratch. And so that was my way of curbing that. That appetite was okay. Well, I can put it online and that's enough. And other than that, I mean, for the past 4 years, I was managing a coffee shop. And so I pretty much had already given up on music being a dream. Just because, the internet, there's pros and cons to the internet with musicians, the pro side is that, anyone can be accessible. It doesn't matter if you have a label or not, because you've got, access to the world at your fingertips. Anybody can find you and find your music. But also with that comes, you know, streaming services and not being able to make as much money through music as well. So I just never thought it would be something that I could live off of. So yeah, I just, and on top of that, I have horrible stage fright and get really scared performing for people. And so yeah, I never pursued it. I just was like, ah, that's just never going to work out for me. And yeah, I wouldn't have even done American Idol, but they reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to audition because they happened to see one of those videos that I put online. And I was like, oh, okay, well, I'm terrified of performing. And I even told them, I said, I don't have a sob story. Like, I don't know if I'm interesting enough for the show. And they were like, you know, like, let's let the world be the judge of that. And so I gave it a shot. So it worked out okay, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, back to the YouTube thing. I mean, it looks like you were doing that several years ago, like 8-9 years ago. And, mm-hmm. you know, and you also play piano, correct?
I mean, I wouldn't say I'm some like virtuoso or anything, but I play right. enough to get by. But yeah.
What kind of music were you listening to or being drawn to, you know, maybe as far as the covers and things that you were posting on YouTube? And I believe you were doing originals too.
I mean, I have originals, but I don't really share them with people. I mean, it's something that now I am dabbling in much more, but the kind of music I was putting out, like cover wise, is I've always been drawn to, I mean, I love like John Denver and Stevie Nicks, James Taylor. But then I also love like more like Celtic or Celtic, I don't know how to say it, music like by like Enya, and then also like dark indie pop music. So different artists like Birdie and Florence Welch. And so to me, it's like I'm kind of all over the place, but I like to give each of those my own spin. And so in that, you know, in that way, I make it my own. I guess that's like the kind of music I gravitate towards. It's more like either indie singer songwriter or like dark indie pop. Lyrics are really important to me. And so I think that's probably the biggest grab or the biggest thing that like I pay attention to when I'm choosing a song to cover is, do I relate to the lyrics and can I do a good job of emoting, the lyrics? So that's what I look for.
Yeah. And I think you did a great job of that on the show. So
thank you. I appreciate it. I tried. Yeah. It was hard in front of a ton of people, but I did my best.
Yeah. So you get the call from American Idol to do this audition. And, you know, part of your thing, I believe, you know, I had to go back and watch your original audition, but I think it was, you know, you were talking about having stage fright. So, you know, what was it like walking out there to Luke, Katie, and Lionel and seeing them and, you know, trying to audition?
Yeah, that was definitely, it's the only word I can think to use is like, it was like a dream. It was like, it was surreal. I mean, leading up to the audition, I was absolutely terrified. Like I lost like multiple pounds because I couldn't eat. And I had like migraines for the first time in my life. And I was just a ball of nerves. And, prior to going out there, I'd even told the producers, I was like, I don't think I want to go through with this. I think I'm not going to follow through. I was like, this is giving me so much anxiety. Like, I don't even know how I could enjoy this process. And they pretty much just like reassured me that, you know, this could change my life and that, you know, I didn't have anything to lose. And, you know, nerves aren't a bad thing. It just means you care. And they were really kind. And I thought, you know what? Yeah, I don't want to live a life of regrets. And I think I have just been telling people like that my fear of having, you know, possible like disdain in the future. Cause you know, sometimes you witness people who are like that, like I could have been a star, you know, or like, if only I'd done this, you know, like, and I thought that fear of being a person like that or feeling, frustration in my later years in life, suddenly that fear was bigger than the fear of performing for people and the fear of failure ultimately, which I think is what scared me the most. Prior to that, I mean, the amount of change that has come to my life and just the short amount of time is huge because, I mean, prior to the show, all I had ever done really was, like, I sang some backup harmonies for people. But, like, I don't like to sing for my friends or my family. So all of a sudden going from that to I'm walking into this room of celebrities and camera people and there's lights pointing at me. It was just like, I don't know how I did it, honestly. I think I had a lot of people praying for me because I mean, I was terrified. But when I opened up that door and like, I don't know how else to explain it, but like, when I opened up these huge doors to walk into the audition room, you know, and they're filming as you go, as soon as I opened the doors and looked forward, I didn't have any nerves. I mean, at least not in my brain. I think like physically I did. My body was really shaking a lot and I ended up like blacking out and didn't remember like any of the audition until I watched it when it aired in February. But prior to that, I mean, like when I was walking in, my mind suddenly was at peace. It was just like, oh, these three beautiful people are just smiling at me and I know they want me to do a good job. And I was suddenly just having a conversation. I thankfully didn't have any feelings of being starstruck. It was just, oh, okay. It was just, I'm having a conversation with these people and they're trying to give me a shot to make it on the show. They want to see me do well. And so suddenly my nerves fell away. And I mean, just because I didn't have nerves didn't mean suddenly I had confidence that I was going to make it, but I didn't. I had no clue. I mean, at one point, Katie was like, I didn't like it. And my brain was just like, oh no, she hates me, you know, and I did a horrible job. And it was just like freaking out. But then she was like, oh, I loved it. And I was completely thrown off guard. So that was very nerve-wracking leading up to it. But when it actually happened, it was just like I had this overwhelming amount of peace. And that was really nice because if I hadn't, I don't know that I would have made it to the next round. So I feel like God really had my back. So, yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, so I'm only guessing, you know, the rest of the ride there, you know, I'm sure your anxiety subsided a little bit as you went. Maybe at least until, you know, you got to the final rounds, which I would only guess were a little more a little more stressful.
Those were so much more stressful. Like, I mean, my nerves completely, like, you would think that it would get better, but it really, my nerves got worse for sure, because just because the stakes were higher, there were more people watching, more people involved, you know, there was no redos. And also I was on a stage suddenly, you know, like there was something about not being on a stage in front of the judges that kind of took away a little bit of the stress. But when you step up onto this platform and you're raised above people and all these lights are pointing at your face and you've got all this makeup on and you've got in-ears, like I'd never used in-ears before. It was just, everything was totally different. And it was like, wow, like, there's all these people in this room and cameras and all this money being pumped into my performance, essentially. Like, I am the entertainment. And that was a ton of stress to be like, everyone's looking at me. Like, there was no, like, you know, usually you can be like, oh, people aren't looking at you. Like, nobody cares what you're doing. But it was like, nope, everyone's paying attention right now. And so definitely stress got a little bit more difficult to take as it progressed. I don't know that I did a great job of handling my stress on stage, or at least my adrenaline. I struggled with that as the show went on, but I did what I went. I mean, I feel like I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. And that was, can I prove to myself that I'm capable of being a performer? And though I don't think I did a perfect job, I did it and I can grow from here. And it was a means to an end. I knew that this would help me make connections with people for the future and would help, you know, what would launch my career. And so it was terrifying, you know, when it first started, but I did what I came to accomplish. And hopefully I can encourage other people to, you know, move past their fear and out of their comfort zone, because you don't know what could happen. You know, I had nothing to lose and everything to gain. I wanted people to see me as another human. I feel like oftentimes when you see someone through your computer screen or through your phone or your TV, you like, I don't know, you separate them from reality in some way. And I just wanted people to know, like, that, you know, because I mean, it came up at another point in the show too, like comments, like mean comments online and stuff like that. I mean, we all were recipients of that. And that's any person who puts themselves out there. Like, you know, sometimes you see a commercial or an ad on Facebook and you look through the ad comments and people are like ripping this random, you know, actor or actress to shreds. And it's just like, it's inevitable. And I just also wanted to just to remind people throughout the entire process, like, I'm a human, I'm just like you, I have anxieties. Like, the things that you say, you know, they hurt us or they build us up or they support us. Like, you know, I just wanted to remind people that I am a real human. And if you would have passed me on the street or at Walmart, you know, prior to me going on the show, you wouldn't have even noticed me or paid attention to me. So, like, I don't know. It's just, it's crazy going all of a sudden from zero to, like, you know, 80,000 people just on my Instagram alone suddenly giving me their opinions and thoughts and stuff. It's just, it's a lot. And so, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And as you know, my next question was, you know, what is life like after Idol? You know, there was just something that came out that you had posted on Instagram, maybe just a few days ago, just about the pressure and, you know, continued pressure of coming off a show like this. So, but I'm sure returning home to Columbia was awesome after the show. So, you know, tell me a little bit about, you know, life after Idol.
Yeah. So as soon as I got off, I didn't want to go straight home. I didn't want people, I mean, to be totally honest, and you're the first podcast I've told this, I didn't want people's empathy or their pity because I'd been kicked off. And I knew I was going to be getting a lot of comments of like, oh, we thought, you know, kind, you know, well-intentioned comments, you know, and but I just wasn't ready to have that amount of attention of people, you know, saying like, oh, we're so sorry that happened, and having to rehash it over and over. And so I traveled for a bit. I like went out to Santa Barbara and Montecito and stayed in LA, and then I went to New York City, and just kind of, I just wanted, I mean, also, like, another reason why I don't like to perform or why I struggle with it prior to the show was I can't stand, like, attention on me or eyes on me. Like, it makes me feel uncomfortable. I mean, like, all of the camera guys on the show knew that, you know. They're like, oh, Cassie, you know. Like, they would say it was endearing or something, but in reality, I knew I was probably annoying because I would, like, squirm, you know. But I just wasn't. I just couldn't handle the attention. And so I kind of hid away from that and stayed away from home. Cause I just wanted I just wanted people to, like, you know, I knew their attention would drift other directions or people would, you know, forget about the show and stuff. So I came back probably about, by the time I got back home, about a month pretty much had passed. And it was definitely really an honor, just the amount of people who will stop me in the grocery store or at a gas station or just around town and say, I voted for you. And, you know, and just how much that means to me that people would take the time to do that. You know, I mean, these people owe me nothing and I owe them everything. So it was really nice to be able to see people's faces and thank them in person. And kind of, it felt a little bit more real too, you know, that, oh yeah, all that really happened. That wasn't a dream. And all the people that voted for me to get to that point, you know, that was a lot of humans that helped me and supported my dream. So yeah, it was nice to say thank you to everybody. And it's been kind of crazy just, you know, getting recognized even when I'm not home or like when I was out in Hawaii and I got recognized so many times and it was just, it's like, it's strange. I'm like, when someone says my name, I don't think like, oh, they must recognize me. I'm like, oh no, what I do wrong? You know, someone's like, are you Cassandra? I'm like, oh no, like what happened? You know, like did I like drop my wallet or something? You know, it's like my brain first goes to, but this all, you know, won't last for very long, I don't think. And so that's why I really, to segue into my festival that I'm planning, that's why I really want to utilize this platform that I've been blessed with, because I'm not using this for, I mean, obviously I want to be a part of the festival and perform, but like, I'm not a headliner. Like, I'm not, this is not about me. To me, this is, okay, wow, I've been blessed with this platform. I have no idea why I got this opportunity, but since I do, I want to utilize it to support my town and support, I know a bunch of dreamers, you know, a bunch of people who are artists and, you know, have vendors and, you know, have small startups or, you know, a small business and, or other musicians, you know, and I want to be able to share this platform with them. So the city had said to me, hey, you know, we'd love to have a day, you know, name a day after you. And I was like, like, that's so sweet. I'm so honored, but that makes me feel uncomfortable. What about instead, you know, we have like a day and it's like a singer-songwriter day, you know, or some kind of festival or something instead. And so that's kind of what was the seed for this dream or for this festival. And so I thought, you know, this is kind of like a celebration of dreams and a celebration of small businesses and people who are putting in the work and are taking that really bold step to pursue their dreams and their passions. And so I thought, well, we'll make a day of it, you know, and just have a bunch of people who can get, you know, little plots for booths and set up their food trucks, or, you know, the businesses downtown put out their, you know, put out their chalkboards or their signs and make specials and, you know, just try to bring attention to the people of Columbia that I love and who have supported me. And, you know, also invite these musicians that I've met and these other artists to come experience my town. And so, yeah, that's the full purpose and point of this, because I feel like, I mean, I love Columbia. I've been serving the general public since I was 17 full time. And, you know, so to me, it's like, it's just my little way of trying to give back. And I know, I'm sure there's always going to be downsides to everything. There's always, you know, I sadly can't do this festival and please everybody. But I am trying to do good with it. And so we've been like reaching out to the businesses downtown and other small businesses and saying, hey, if there's ways that we can do this in a different way that can help you, or if, you know, if there's anything that we can do, you know, please don't hesitate to let us know, because we want this to be a win for you guys. So yeah, that's a little bit of the reason why behind the festival.
Yeah. And what was the date on that for this year?
Yeah. So we're doing the festival on October 23rd. And we're calling it the Columbia Indie Fest, and it's going to be a day long event, you know, full of, we'll have two different stages with our main stage live streamed in front of the courthouse. We've got like over 70 vendors, food trucks, you know, different artists. We have over 24 artists, or musician artists, and then other artists as well, having vendors and stuff, as vendors, I mean. And, yeah, I think it's going to be a lot of fun. And October is like the best time of year, especially for Tennessee, October 23rd. Like, I'm really hopeful that the weather will be beautiful and everyone can be outside. And, you know, I'm really excited.
Yeah. And I, you know, I've talked to some other Columbia folks on the podcast, you know, downtown Columbia is just the most amazing place to go, whether, you know, you're just on any day or, you know, first Fridays that they have in Columbia. It's just, it's just such an awesome place. So, yeah, I mean, I'm pumped for this. When your team reached out to me, you know, to come on here to talk about this. So I know you are, you know, you're really seeking all the help you can get with this too. I know you're taking donations. You're looking for sponsorships, volunteers for the event. So can you kind of talk more about that?
Yeah. We have a donation tab on our website that we've just launched. I haven't really like vocalized yet about the fundraiser. I have just been like, honestly, just like focusing on other things right now. The sponsors are kind of like our first priority right now, with the sponsorship packages, you know, that includes either, you know, there's different tiers, you know, smaller tiers down at the bottom are more like going towards, you know, maybe being on t-shirts, you know, or being on the banner on the main stage, you know, if you're someone who moves up in a higher tier, or, you know, getting VIP tickets for your team. I mean, we've got a whole lot of just incentives to sponsorships and, you know, like blasting your company on our social media pages. I actually, if anyone's interested in that, I guess I could share that sponsorship package with you, maybe, if there's some way people can, I don't know, maybe we can figure something like that out, or they can see what those sponsorship tiers are. And then for volunteers, we're having t-shirts made for them and goodie bags, and we're going to have a little party for the volunteers too. And we want them to be able to, you know, have perks and with like meeting the artists and stuff like that. So if you're interested in volunteering, we definitely want it to be worth your while. We think it's going to be a really fun day. And while you're volunteering, you'll be hearing tons of, you know, music for free. So, if you're interested in volunteering, we would love to have you on our team. But our website is www.columbiaindiefest.com. And through that, you can fill out vendor applications or volunteer applications, or you can donate through there. All of our information, contact, everything's on there.
Well, awesome. I'm personally excited for that. So I'm definitely going to be behind this and try to help support this as much as I can. So
thank you so much.
Yeah. You know, to get towards wrapping up here, you know, what do you have coming up for the rest of the year? Are you working on any music or an album in the works, or?
Yeah. So right now, pretty much all my attention is going towards either the festival or songwriting. So I have agreed to, three more performances. Because I am going to go into like a songwriting hibernation. I really don't want to continue to write. I'm sorry. I don't want to continue to sing covers. So I have three more. So one is yet to be announced. And then we've got the festival that I'll be performing at on October 23rd. And then there is a black tie gala that's being held by The Factory in downtown Columbia. It's like a Christmas party soiree thing. So I just have agreed upon three more performances. And then after that, I'm going into hibernation until I come out with either my first EP or first album. And then I'll perform again after that. But right now I'm just meeting up with different writers and trying to learn. I think a lot of people assume that because you are a singer that you then magically know how to songwrite. I wish I did, but sadly that's not the case. So I'm meeting up with people, trying to be proactive and learning how do people write, you know, what all does that entail? Like the layers upon layers of like, you know, I don't even know how to, you know, track songs, you know, so I'm watching other people learning how they use their programs like Logic and stuff like that. So right now it's just the time of, I'm just like a sponge right now and I'm trying to absorb as much information and learn from as many people as possible. Because, you know, like I was saying earlier, prior to 4 months ago, music was not on my radar. So I feel like I'm a little bit behind. I've got a lot of catching up to do, but I'm like 100% here to put in the work so that I can eventually be a touring musician and sharing music that people relate to and connect to.
Yeah, absolutely. So you shared the website for the Columbia Indie Fest. It's columbiaindiefest.com. You also have a website for your own music. That's cassandracoleman.me. So cassandracoleman.me.
And it looks like you're on all social medias, or at least Facebook and Instagram, at Cassandra Coleman Music.
Yeah, thanks for sharing that. I appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. And thank you again for being a part of this podcast. You know, I can only imagine great things are in store for you. I'm super pumped about the Indie Fest. And then again, I want to remind everyone to check out your music and then stay tuned for more info about the Indie Fest, because I'm excited to hear about what other artists you're going to bring to Columbia.
Yes, I'm so excited to share it with you guys. Stay tuned. We are trying to release at least most of the lineup on August 1st. We're really excited. We've got a lot of work put into this, and I think it's going to be worth it. So thank you for supporting this and for letting us share.
Well, there you go. I really hope you enjoyed this episode. As always, thank you for listening. If you'd like to get a hold of me, I'd love to hear from you. You can email me directly at 99%localpod@gmail.com. Or you can actually drop by the contact page on the website and send a voice message that may appear in a future episode. You can find the website at 99%localpod.com. While you're there, make sure you catch up on all of those past episodes that you might have missed. If you'd like to support the show, you can do it in a few different ways. Please follow the podcast on Instagram and Facebook at 99% Local Pod. Leave a review wherever you listen to the podcast. And the best thing you can possibly do is share the podcast with your friends who might want to check it out. Lastly, consider contributing to the podcast on a one-time or ongoing basis. All contributions that I receive, 10% of that goes to the Well Outreach Food Pantry in Spring Hill, Tennessee. Well, until next week, stay safe and be kind to those around you.